T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Arrgh, mateys, it is Talk Like a Pirate Day on ESPN Upstate.
I'm not going to do it. I wanted to do it so very badly. It is Talk Like a Pirate Day, apparently. Willie P and Diesel here with you on Straight Up with Sturge, ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Go ahead.
Who's Steve the Pirate? He's on our team. There's a guy on our team that dresses like a pirate?
But why is the rum gone? Why is the rum always gone? I'm sure I was asking that last night. Went over to Hall of Fame again, by the way. Loved the music bingo last night. Oy. Got to meet Alice, which was fun, cool. Very, very nice, incredible.
Did you meet
business.
Chief?
I met Chief last time I was
Member
there.
Member of two music halls of fame?
I met Chief last time I was there. He said he was very, very much a fan of the program. Also sent his best to Serge, which we always do, by the way, as we continue to wish him well on his recovery. We wish you are a part of our program. 844-GSP-ESPN. The phone number, text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN and be a part of the program. Started the show by talking about Cam Newton and Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera had the just audacity to walk out on the media and give us an opportunity to expose himself as quite the clown that he is. This is Rivera earlier today when assembled with the Panthers media about, I would say a minute and a half into his opening comments and questions that were regarding, quite honestly, the most important player on the football team.
Ron, would you think Cam would travel in either event? Or would that be decided tomorrow?
See, you guys want to watch, sit there and watch, so you'll have to wait and see. I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys. I mean, let's talk about it at Arizona. I mean, I haven't really talked about Arizona, you know, so it'd be good to answer those kind of questions.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, you know, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
You felt before the opener, you were 100% confident he was going to be ready to go. Where are you on that level now?
I just asked you to ask me questions about somebody else. I'm not going to do this anymore, okay? I told you, I won't know anything until tomorrow. Okay. Thank you. Golly.
Looks like the circus is in town.
I mean, in your mind, is Ron not just a little bit justified when he said flat out, I won't know anything until tomorrow?
You don't get to do that, man. You don't get to do that when you built your team around this guy. The fact that there hasn't been and never will be the type of suitable replacement for this guy shows me again that they were completely unprepared and caught with their pants down. I mean, I'm sorry. I know that not everybody has the ability to, you know, have the wherewithal to have somebody as a backup who is at least able to mirror what Cam Newton does. But again, this is an indictment of Cam. This is an indictment of all the things that are involved with him as opposed to other quarterbacks in the league. He is nothing if he can't run. He can, and they're realizing that. So all I'm saying is there isn't really much that he can say. He has no real clout if he stands behind that and says that, you know what, I'm not doing this. Then why even hold the press conference if you're not willing to take questions on Cam Newton? Like, I'm sorry, that's not the way this works. You don't get to dictate the direction of a press conference when you're 0-2, and your star and the guy who basically is the reason why you are existing as a legitimate franchise is compromised. Texter from the 864 says Rivera agitated by the temptation to make more irresponsible claims like Cam would start and it's good to go. That's from Clay, who tweets us, or who texts us, rather, at 71307. you know, I, again, I'm not necessarily trying to indict them, but this is, again, this is more of an indictment of the organization. And, again, it goes back to the point that I made earlier. If Cam Newton is not able to play, there's a guy who literally mirrors Cam Newton's exact skill set out there on the open market in Colin Kaepernick. I mean, I honestly think that Colin Kaepernick is better than Kyle Allen. Someone likes to point out that, oh, by the way, Kyle Allen was a five-star out of high school. Yeah, and I have Candace Romo's phone number in my cell phone. What does that have anything to do with anything? These are things that are irrelevant. Plenty of five stars that fizzled out and became career backups and reasons why that they'll never be starters in the National Football League. Kyle Allen could come out and be awesome. You seem to think that he might come out and be awesome.
I didn't say that. I said give the man a chance.
Okay. Try to give peace a chance, too, as well. Who knows? Again, I have my reservations and I have my doubts on the Panthers going forward. Also talked about the Georgia-Notre Dame game, which is the game that's getting all the attention this weekend. I think all that attention is folly because I think Georgia is going to wipe the floor with Notre Dame. The line is 2 touchdowns. I think it should be more. I would bet every little last bit of my money on Georgia covering that spread and winning in a rout. Aaron tweets us at ESPN Upstate. I think that Georgia is on the same level as Clemson and Alabama, but let's see if the Bulldogs can outscore Notre Dame by 27 first, similarly to what Clemson did last year in the Cotton Bowl. We're asking you on the Twitter poll at ESPN Upstate, is Georgia on the same level as Clemson and Alabama? 61% of you say no. Ben tweets us saying that Georgia is definitely there recruiting-wise. You look at the recruiting numbers, Kirby Smart has been more than adequate in that regard. The recruiting has completely transformed from what it was under Mark Richt to where it is now. That is my personal opinion, and also the numbers back it up. What Ben does say is they haven't beaten Bama yet, which may come this year, assuming Bama gets past LSU, Auburn, and A&M. Clemson's just a notch ahead of both as today. Basically, Georgia and Bama are on a tier below Clemson, but in the end, the gap may lessen. Look, I don't think Bama's that good, guys. I hate to tell you this. I think Bama's third behind Clemson and Georgia. Honestly. That Bama team did not look good against South Carolina. Didn't. Just didn't. Tua Tagovailoa helped mostly by his awesome receivers, which might be the best unit in all of college football. Okay, the wide receiver unit at Alabama might be the best unit in all of college football. But guess who's second, folks? The Georgia running back corps. Georgia's running backs, and again, at a position that is largely devalued in the National Football League, they got dudes at that position. Pete says, Georgia hasn't done it yet. Win a national championship. And yes, okay, so we're just gonna this is like the people who are talking about Eli Manning in the rings. We're just going to be blinded by the jewelry. Oh, but only if you win a national championship could you be considered amongst the elite in the sport. Only if you win a Super Bowl could you be considered amongst the elite in the sport. By the way, I was getting on people with the Eli Manning Hall of Fame thing. I got in a real argument with a guy, a friend of mine who works for Newsday up in New York, Diesel. I called him a mindless idiot for thinking that Eli Manning was Hall of Fame worthy. Caused a rift between us and our friendship.
Just saying, there's multiple categories as for why somebody deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And if you don't think two rings at least puts you in that conversation.
I don't get blinded by the rings. I don't get blinded by the jewelry.
Yeah, but you focus on everything else and don't even look at the rings.
Well, I focus on 116 and 116 overall when it comes to his overall record as a quarterback, and looking at the last couple of years of his career, let's just say to say it's taken a significant downturn as far as wins and losses for the New York Giants, I would say that you could be very, very much in question of what exactly he's done to this point of his career. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. 71307 is the text line. On Twitter at ESPN Upstate. And on Twitter with yours truly and Diesel, at Willie P. Style and at Diesel on Radio. Let's go to Harold, who wants to chat a little with us on some college football topics. Harold, you're on ESPN Upstate.
Thank you, Will, for taking my call. Give me a couple of minutes here. This stuff I've been hearing is, I mean, my most laughable was Dabo Sweeney's take on the the 49ers. Mm-hmm. I understand why he does it. Keep the guys' heads in the game and don't let them underestimate an opponent.
Harold, he must have thought it was the San Francisco 49ers they were playing. That's not true.
Right. Listen, as far as that, one more. If the 49ers is in the game in the fourth quarter, I want South Carolina to go after him. Now, South Carolina's not going to win this game because the same old stellar defense. They don't have no defense. They ain't going to get that defense, the secondary, coached up in a week, you know. And Georgia is the best team in the SEC. They're going to be the SEC champs. This thing with Notre Dame coming up here, what gets me is Notre Dame in the top 10 every year. Mm. I don't understand it. Why they won't go into ACC football? You know why? Because they have to play Clemson.
They know that they can't recruit. They know that they can't recruit with the people inside a actual power conference, and that's the reason why I don't think they'll go into. It has nothing to do with the TV money. They can get TV money. The TV money deal actually isn't even as strong as the power conferences that they get. It wouldn't even rank in the Power Five. So it's not about the TV money. It's about the fact that they know that they cannot recruit at the level that a Power Five conference can recruit at, and that's because of the restrictions academically that they have when it comes to being able to get players. Look, I don't do picks on this show. I really don't. I don't feel like it really gives you a lot of credence. I've never been a picks guy. Just really don't like doing it. Don't find it to be really helpful to the discussion. I think that all you're proving when you're picking games is you might be lucky one week. I really don't think that really does much for your credibility or your credence. I'm telling you right now, if I was a guy who was going to be a picking guy, I'd pick Missouri. Because I agree with Harold. I don't know if South Carolina can get this defense fixed in one week. I need to see it from them on the defensive side of the football. I'm sorry. The secondary is woeful. The secondary is bad. I think Albert O is going to have a field day. And I'm not saying that because I want to see it happen. I'm saying it just because I think it's an absolute fact. Unless they've figured it out over the course of 6 days... and they look completely different. And I know that past performance doesn't necessarily guarantee you future results. But if you're going by the way they've looked in the two games against FBS competition, do I have time to get into what we had scheduled here, or am I up against it? Should I take a break and come back? I have 2 minutes. I do want to at least get this in real quick because I alluded to it in our previous segment. The NFL is doing something very dangerous, or at least its players are doing something very dangerous. The fact that we are now seeing players demand trades, a la the NBA, you don't want the NFL to turn into the NBA where the players are bigger than the game. This stuff with Minka Fitzpatrick and Jalen Ramsey and Melvin Gordon and all these people who do not want to honor the contracts that are in front of them are reasons why people like Diesel don't watch the National Football League anymore. You don't want to have the players become bigger than the teams. The reason the NFL has always had success, it goes back to the old Jerry Seinfeld philosophy. You're rooting for the laundry. The pawns are interchangeable. You root for the laundry. Yes, players are superstars. Yes, players want their money. Yes, players want all the success and glitz and glam that comes with being successful in the National Football League. But the problem is, I don't really understand the goal of some of these players about trying to go up against the Shield. It never works. The Shield is undefeated. The owners are the most powerful in all the professional sports. If you go against the Shield, you lose. Yes, Minka Fitzpatrick is going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but guess what he did? He turned off 31 of the 32 NFL owners, except for the one that gets to have his services for the next couple of years. What's going to happen when Minka Fitzpatrick goes to free agency? He's going to be characterized as a snake. And what happens to people who are characterized as snakes in the National Football League? They're blackballed. They disappear. Don't bite the hand that feeds you inside the National Football League. Because guess what? The Shield is undefeated. And there's a reason it is undefeated, because the owners are the most powerful in sports. The Players Association signs over most of its rights and does so willingly because of the cash cow that is the NFL. I'm not trying to say this to sound flippant or to sound deferential to the National Football League. They're not paying me a dime. But the fact remains is that for every person who comes out a winner in a trade situation like this, you see many more that come out and turn into busts. The Dallas Cowboys today just released a first-round pick in Taco Charlton, somebody who was disgruntled with his situation there and had other off-the-field issues as well. And the Los Angeles Chargers seem perfectly content to let Melvin Gordon just sit there on the sidelines and wilt away. I said it before, I'll say it again. The worst thing that could have happened for players in the NFL is for the Steelers, one of the bastions of the league, to let a player sit on the bench collecting dust for an entire season in Le'Veon Bell. And guess what? They gladly let him walk and ended up getting him less money than he was bargaining for, even at the best offer that he got from the Steelers. And now he's on the lowly Jets. Sorry. That's how you get your comeuppance, guys. You might be making the money, but guess what? The Jets ain't going anywhere this season because their quarterback has mono. Karma? Maybe. Guess what? That's the Shield, once again, getting a victory. And the Shield is undefeated. 844-GSP-ESPN. The phone number is 71307. The Atlanta Braves are one win or one loss by the Nationals away from clinching the National League East. Concerns headed toward October? Positives headed toward October. We discuss the Bravos next. Willie P and Diesel on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, this is the time where our friend Jimmy should call us, because we're going to talk baseball. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves, who find themselves with a magic number of one following today's victory, 5-4 over the Phillies. As much as Shane Green tried to blow it in the eighth inning, they were able to get things rolling on the offensive side with Ronald Acuna Jr. He hit his 40th home run of the season off of Aaron Nola, a two-run shot that gave the Braves the lead early by a score of 2-0. 5-4 the final, and every player in the Atlanta lineup got a hit, at least the position players did. Mike Soroka, five innings, two earned, five hits, five Ks, lowering his ERA to 2.6, his 13th win on the year. Unfortunately, when it comes to the starting staff, he's kind of been the only consistent one of late. Errant starts from both Keuchel and Teron over the last couple of nights mired what should have been a coronation for the Phillies for this homestand, but instead, on a getaway day, they'll have to at least have it suffice to possibly get the victory against San Francisco tomorrow night, or hope that Miami takes care of business later on tonight and they get a clinching situation with regards to the game involving the Nationals here later. But again, this is obviously something from the standpoint that you look at the Braves and you see all the positives. And believe me, they've played well. There's no doubting that. They played well over the last month and a half. The bullpen before Shane Green's blow up in the eighth has stabilized itself. There was a stat that was put out by Paul Byrd from their television team saying that the Braves bullpen had not given up a lead since August the 16th, which is something that still is intact. Had a 10-inning scoreless streak going into the game. They did get a couple of scoreless innings out of their bullpen aside from Shane Green, scoreless outings from Martin, and there was a run allowed by Luke Jackson, but still does get a hold as a result of keeping the lead there. Mark Melancon picked up his 12th save on the season, as basically all four of their principal parts played a role in the victory over the Phillies. But the thing that is going to be the big bugaboo and the big test for this Braves team is, can they get depth out of their starting rotation? Look, Soroka today only threw 88 pitches. And again, I think a lot of that, again, is trying to temper his abilities going into this part of the season. A lot of that also dictated by the game situation. The two runs he gave up in the fifth inning, or at least gave up again later in the fifth inning, were parts of the fact that they wanted to at least make sure that he got through five and was able to get through it with the lead, because they got two runs in the bottom half, and basically Atlanta cut their losses there with only 88 pitches. They wanted to make sure they secured the victory. But I wonder why it seems that everybody just seems to be giving his pennant to the LA Dodgers, because it's not as if they have been completely infallible over the course of the season. Yes, they have finished strong. They've won 10 of 14 despite clinching the NL West with three weeks remaining in the regular season. The pitching staff is basically the second lowest ERA in the month. Kenley Jansen has had a solid stretch as well. But the club is obviously taking a little bit of a dip when it comes to the offense. The average is down. The OPS is down. Still averaging five runs a game. But a guy like Cody Bellinger went from being the best in baseball in the opening half to just kind of very, very good. Now, granted, you could say these are first world problems for the Dodgers, but there is something to be said for peaking too early. And you wonder if that could be something that the Braves are seeing the inverse of. The Braves could be ramping themselves up for a potential run here at the postseason. I would just caution anybody who thinks they have baseball figured out. How many times do you see the team with the best record in baseball resulting in a world championship? Doesn't always happen. Usually it takes a team that's on the run that's playing the best. A lot of times teams coast, especially at this level, when they come into the end of a regular season. The one thing I've been happy about with Atlanta is it doesn't look like they have. They still have the third highest or fourth highest run differential in all of the National League. Amazingly enough, the Nationals have 10 runs better than them when it comes to their run differential, but they have been basically as even on the road as they are at home. They're very, very good against teams over for the 500 mark, 52 and 40. They, in fact, have a better record against teams over 500 than any of the division leaders, including the Dodgers and the Cardinals, as well as the Cubs, too. Both the Cardinals and Cubs have basically played at or below 500 against teams who are above 500. So that at least is something that would give me credence to think that the Braves aren't necessarily as much of a disadvantage as some might think going into the postseason. You still wonder how they would match up against one of the teams coming out of the American League, like a Houston or a New York Yankees. I do think that against the Yankees, the offense of the Braves would match up very, very well against the New York Yankees. But I wonder also if the offense can keep things going. Ronald Acuña Jr. is going to get a lot of attention from people because of his 40-40 clout. He reached the 40 home run mark with the victory today. However, his hitting has not necessarily been as good as you would think it has been, given his representative numbers over the course of the season. He's hitting just .190 since mid-August coming into play today, and also leads the majors with 182 strikeouts. When the ramp-up in pitching comes inevitably in October, that's when people with high strikeout numbers distinguish themselves, and not in the best way. And while they have gotten pieces like Nick Markakis back from injury, they are still hampered by injuries like guys like Charlie Culbertson, who had a fractured cheekbone, Johan Camargo, who is still battling an injured shin. Simply put, the Braves have a situation right now where they are far from whole, but I like their pieces about as good as any team not named the Dodgers. Now, the fact that they did get some confidence by beating the Dodgers 2 out of 3 in the last series is something that I've spoken with people who cover baseball, like Chip Carey of the Fox Sports broadcast. He said to me earlier this month when he had him on in Atlanta that anything that is confidence for the mind is a good thing for this Braves team. The unfortunate part about that is the other series involving those two teams was a three-game sweep by the Dodgers over Atlanta. Again, different part of the season. This one was only about a month ago, and because of that, you look at least that from the recency bias perspective as being a good thing for Atlanta. The other part of this thing, too, is that Atlanta, while, you know, you don't necessarily think about the National League East as a juggernaut, they're playing in a division with four teams over 500. That, by the way, the most teams over 500 in any division in all of baseball. But would you have characterized games against Washington, the Mets, and Philadelphia as ones that, quite honestly, would be the best of competition? As my good friend Mark Ryan likes to say, stats are like beginnings. They show some things, but woefully not all. And you wonder if that record against the teams above 500 is slightly inflated differently when you think about four teams who very well might not be in the postseason, or three teams, I should say, that might well not be in the postseason. The Mets and Philadelphia certainly will not. Washington still hanging on by a thread in the National League wildcard race because Chicago and Milwaukee both are vying for that potential spot. They are percentage points ahead of the Washington Nationals in that regard. Now, obviously, there are folks who will look at the NL wildcard race and say, well, you know, you're going to at least eliminate one of those teams down the stretch. I wonder if one of those wild card teams might not be able to, with this particular run, maybe usurp and maybe upend the Dodgers. Just because of the fact that, you know, people want to run Joe Maddon out of town in Chicago doesn't mean he can't concoct the type of plan that maybe causes them to be a bit of a giant killer. Cardinals have been playing hot as well. They have won basically a good share of their games in very dramatic fashion over the last month. And don't get me started on Milwaukee. Milwaukee has kind of always been this team that has defied the odds and defied the stats, the team that could possibly get into the playoffs with a negative run differential. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it with an expected win-loss record of 74-78, and in reality, they're 12 games over 500. They've done it with smoke and mirrors with the beer makers. No idea. Maybe it's something that's in the beer. Who knows? Point being, baseball this season has been so inexact that it's impossible to predict that it's just going to be chalk. We're going to get Yankees, Houston, Braves, Dodgers. Don't know if that's necessarily the case. And because of that, it makes for what is going to be a rather juicy October. And because of the lack of predictability that could possibly result in this October, I see a potential for the Braves to be the beneficiaries of some weird, quirky stuff that plays a part in the month of October. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, 71307 is the text line. We'll come back and bring you a little bit more from the Clemson players. We heard from the Carolina players earlier as they get ready for Missouri. This guy who we'll hear from, I think, is an All-American. He offers a very weird analogy of what he wants to be characterized as in Clemson's defense. And how does Trevor Lawrence feel about the first three games of his season, which many have called rather pedestrian? That comes your way next on ESPN Upstate. What do you think of the attire shown by the Braves? Again, this was a tweet that I retweeted from my Twitter at Willie P. Style by Paul Bird. They apparently went full bachelorette party, did the bullpen with the robes that have the names and numbers on the back of them. Fair or foul?
Fair. I like it.
Do you?
It's kind of Big Lebowski-ish.
I don't know. I wonder if they in the Braves clubhouse have a rug in that room that really just tied the room together.
Very well played. I was just thinking the exact quote and how to work it in there.
Got to get up pretty early in the morning to get one past Willie P. Texter from the 864, we were talking earlier about Notre Dame, Georgia, says that Notre Dame has got to get another Lou Holtz-type coach. Lou Holtz, sorry, Mark, type coach. That'll be all over the microphone for him tomorrow. Coach that someone who will work around, in air quotes, their academic requirements and pay the blue chips for their sign. Ha-ha. Is that the way it happened?
Casting aspersions.
Dispersions. Is it aspersions or dispersions?
Aspersions.
Is it aspersions? What is a dispersion? I wonder.
Is it where you disperse something? Let's not Google dictionary words.
We're doing this. Dispersion. The action or process of distributing things or people over a wide area.
There you go.
Versus aspersions. In fact, it actually comes up on Google. Aspersion. An attack on a reputation. You got one right. There you go.
I got it pretty early in the morning. Right. Got one past you.
Yeah, you know what
that is? Didn't take long, did it?
Yeah, well, you know, it is the end of the day after all.
Excuses making.
I'm giving you credit. I'm giving you credit. That's what happens. That's what happens on a 3-hour show. I'm not going to be perfect. Know it. Love it. Not going to be perfect. But I don't think that's necessarily how it works. I don't think it's necessarily how that works with Lou Holtz. But again, who knows? Twitter comment from Sean says, don't let Ohio State fans hear you say that Georgia is the upper class of college football and Clemson and Alabama are elite, because if Ohio State fans heard you say that, they'll have a temper tantrum of a lifetime. So, last thing we want to do is offend anybody from Ohio State. God forbid we offend anybody who might be living in our fair state and might not be paying taxes on their car with their Ohio plates. Too soon? Too soon? Too soon? Really? You're not going to give me on that? You're not going to give me credit on that one?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
People, do you not understand how many people we get here from the state of Ohio in this state?
I have not been privy to the immigration numbers, no.
Oh, my. Everybody from the state of Ohio comes to live here because 77 literally connects right at Columbia and it goes all the way up to Cincinnati and Cleveland.
I'm aware. I've been on 77.
See a lot of Ohio plates.
All the way through Ohio.
See a lot of Ohio plates. Just saying. Some people are here. They're not paying taxes on their car. Just saying. I'm all for South Carolina getting their money. Because guess what's going to happen? Eventually, they're going to be getting their money because of gambling. Maybe. Legalized wagering. Maybe. Could that happen? 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. I was just stalling because I didn't want to take Jimmy's phone call. But Jimmy is here on the line. We were talking Braves, Jimmy. We did this for you, my man. We did it for you. All for you.
Well, I didn't know if I should call back in because last time I talked to you, you said that my outlook for the Panthers and their success was football for dummies. So I didn't know if you appreciated my sports views.
I did. I absolutely did. It was all meant in jest. You have one thing you have to understand, Jimmy, is that I am somebody who likes to keep things lighthearted on this program. I don't take things too seriously.
But I know I want to talk about the Braves, but I think some of the things I said about the Panthers, they have not worked on those things, and that's why they're not being very successful. Cam's not getting rid of the ball quickly, and Luke Kuechly is doing working too much on defense. He's not getting enough help from the defense. And I don't understand why they're not using Chris Hogan. I haven't noticed him playing a lot, that New England free agent. Mm-hmm. And I haven't noticed any help at running back from McCaffrey. So I hope the Panthers change that.
They certainly understand that. And, you know, here's the issue. Cam Newton's not healthy. That's the biggest part of it. And the fact is, if he can't have a threat when it comes to his legs – that really kind of shuts down everything with regards to the way the Panthers offense is built. They can't necessarily win with the way that they've built their team if there isn't a running threat at quarterback. They just can't.
Yeah. But there's still some situations where he should try to run to get key first downs and just get down quickly to keep him taking a hit. But getting to the Atlanta Braves, I'm a little concerned right now with the pitching, because it was doing really well there for a while. And then the guys have been – a lot of the hitters have been in a slump. I don't know if it's because they went on that winning streak and they were trying to close out, you know, the division by going on that winning streak, and now they feel like they're on cruise control. But, I'm concerned about that. They need to pick up their hitting and, try to start hitting before they go to the postseason. Then the other thing I'm concerned about is who are they going to keep on the roster for the postseason? Because you got Duvall, you got Ortega, and you got Austin Riley. out in left field. And, yeah, Austin Riley, you know, went in a batting slump, swinging at all those sliders and had to go to the minors and all that. So that's going to be a tough decision for Snitker, who to keep on the postseason roster. So
you got to go.
Go ahead.
You got to keep who's hot, honestly. I mean, that's the thing. That's the way you got to look at this, Jimmy.
So who do you think is hot as far as those three out in left field?
I honestly feel like you got to keep Markakis, you got to keep Acuna, you got to keep Joyce.
Those are no-brainers.
Yeah. I like Duvall because I think Duvall could be a better pinch hitter than Riley can, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, Ortega's really contributed to the team also.
He has. He has.
All right, well, I appreciate you taking my call, and y'all have a good day.
Jimmy, it was a pleasure. Pleasure was all mine. Maybe I had to be more polite.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate.
Wow. That was not nice. That was not nice what you just did there. By the way, Ortega am I looking at Riley? This is Riley. This is Riley in September and not living in September. Riley 4-for-19 in the month of September. Only one homer, four RBIs. 211 he's hitting. I don't know if I necessarily would want that on my postseason roster, but who knows. The Clemson Tigers hosting Charlotte this weekend. I wanted to showcase this analogy put forth by Isaiah Simmons. He was like a very well-read guy. You know, I was talking earlier to people who basically were asking about advice, and I said, you have to read. Well, apparently as a result of one of the guest speakers they had at Clemson, Isaiah Simmons wants to take on the personification of a coffee bean when it comes to being a part of Clemson's defense. What does that mean? He explained during his media availability this week.
So to be a coffee bean, you don't want to be an egg because when an egg gets put in hot water, it hardens. And you don't want to be a carrot because when a carrot gets put in hot water, it softens. So to be a coffee bean gets put in hot water and it spreads. So we want to be, as our program as a whole, we want to be like, I don't want to say the model, but, you know, be able to spread and be a good influence in various ways. Yeah, so Damien West and John Gordon, two great speakers we had. There's a book as well called The Coffee Bean, great book. I feel like just having a coffee bean mentality is just everything because it could just help in so many ways, regardless of if it's football or just actual real life things. Everybody here, we're all focused. We all got the same goal at the end of the day. So it was really, you really don't have to tell that to anyone here because everybody's so focused on what the goal is for the team that they're not really worried about that.
I want this show to be the coffee bean of sports talk shows. I want this show to spread all across the mighty mad upstate, all across the state of South Carolina. We are going to spread like a coffee bean spreads. We are not going to shrink like a carrot. We are not going to sink like an egg. We are going to spread like coffee bean all throughout the mighty mad upstate. Trevor Lawrence has spread the football around to a lot of his receivers, but he's also spread the ball to the opposing team a couple of times this season. 5 interceptions, equaling his total from last year. Many have called his play pedestrian. He says it's not the end of the world.
I'm the same guy I was. You know, there's definitely had some bad decisions that I've made in games, and that's going to happen. I mean, playing quarterback. And obviously we run a spread offense, we throw the ball a lot. I mean, there's going to be some bad decisions and some throws that aren't great throws. So that's just part of the game. And I'm trying to get better every week. That's something I'm trying to do and just help my team win any way I can. Work in progress, yeah. I mean, that's what it's going to be. And that's what Coach Sweeney says. That's what we all say. And that's just, we want to keep getting better every week. And I feel like we've done that. And that's the main goal, is to keep getting better. And definitely not where we want to be, but we're better than where we were when we started. So that's just, I mean, it's a work in progress. That's what it's always going to be. But definitely have a lot of room for improvement, but that's a good thing. It's definitely comforting knowing those guys will go up and make a play for you. And, they had, like, kind of a man coverage down there on the goal line, and they switched it off. But Frank did a good job, just ran past the dude. So just give him a chance. And, I mean, like you said, we have so many playmakers that they're going to go up and make a play.
That is a little bit from Trevor Lawrence. Look, he went 20-32 against Bama with 3 touchdowns.
He went 27-39 for 327 against Notre Dame, three touchdowns. No picks in either contest. Threw for 8 touchdowns, no interceptions in his last 3 games, which included the ACC championship game. Also, the last 5 games of 2018 did not throw a pick. Only threw 4 picks all last year. I understand everybody thinks that he's playing pedestrian now, but you have to understand the type of unsustainable standard that he put up last year is otherworldly and extraordinary. And it's like having somebody who has a fantastic start to a baseball career. Guess what? Pitchers have a book on the hitter now. They know what to look for, and it's up to him to adjust.
Well, you ask Trevor Lawrence, Dabo Swinney, and pretty much anybody who actually knows what they're talking about. You ask a guy, would you rather meet or match the expectations you had from last year, or would you rather win football games? And they're going to tell you, I'd rather win football games every single time.
And Clemson has done that convincingly.
Trevor Lawrence
over the first 3
has more than solidified himself as who is going to be the top prospect when he comes out.
Certainly.
He's already done that.
Certainly. And now it's all about fine-tuning that. And it's all about winning football games for Clemson, which, by the way, they're doing at a continually remarkable rate. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. In a 12-segment show, we have to plan a lot. Sometimes things get left behind. We called it what's left on the cutting room floor. We'll give it to you next on ESPN Upstate. Apparently, Antonio Brown is no longer represented by Nike, according to a story on ESPN.com. Company spokesperson told the Boston Globe Antonio Brown is not a Nike athlete and says that he no longer represents Nike and declined to comment on why or the timing of the decision. What a surprise. I had more on that. Don't worry.
Losing endorsements. Wow.
Exactly. Also lost his helmet deal. Jerome says, Georgia's only won 1 national championship in the past 40 years. And I said, what does that have to do with their team this year? He says, the poll doesn't specify this year. Seriously? Do we have to... 140 characters on this darn app. One could feel like we understand... Like, you understood that meant this year, right? That was positive? That's a positive? That's an affirmative, Chief?
Yes. Everyone should have known that.
I should have known that. Friday, we will talk about sports from Vegas perspective, I should say. Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. Also, Cole Bryson will talk high school with us. I enjoyed the show today. For Diesel, I'm Willie P. We say so long, South Carolina.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.